This morning, we begin with a very special, special thing. We're going to be bringing a young lady into the congregation, little Faith Marie Fraser, and so is the time for baptism. Would the parents and the sponsors please come forward? Hello. Hi, guys.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Morning.
Good morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Lord commanded baptism, saying to his disciples in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." And the holy apostles of the Lord have written the promises for you and your children, and baptism now saves you. We also learn from the Word of God that we are conceived and born sinful and are in need of forgiveness. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Receive the sign of the cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, in sign that you belong to Jesus Christ, because He loves you. Hear now how our Lord Jesus Christ opened the kingdom of God to little children. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have Him touch them. Would you like to have Jesus touch you? Yeah, that'd be neat, wouldn't it? And He has, when you were baptized. When Jesus saw this, He was indignant, and He said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Sponsors, have you gone over the promise you're going to make? You have. Good. Because you're going to do it now, real. This is the real thing. People were bringing. It is your task as sponsors to confess with the whole church the faith of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whose name this child is to be baptized. After this child has been baptized, you are at all times to remember her in her prayers and put her in mind of her baptism. And as much as in you lies, give your counsel that she should be brought up in the true knowledge and worship of God and be taught the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and that as she grows in years, you place in her hands the Holy Scriptures. Bring her to the service of God's house and provide for her further instruction in the Christian faith, that she might come to the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, and thus, abiding in her baptismal grace and in communion with the church, she may grow up to lead a godly life to praise and honor of Jesus Christ. This, then, you intend gladly and willingly to do?
Yes.
Thank you. God enabled you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work. With His grace, fulfill what we are unable to do. In order to implore the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the gathering of this child into the family of our Father, let us, with the family, pray the prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. And now here are the questions. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? You answer, I do. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty? Yes, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son? And then the second article of the Creed. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? And then the third article. Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Who brings this child to be baptized? How is this child to be named?
Faith Marie Fraser.
Faith Marie Fraser. If someone would hold this for me, please. And if I may take the child and keep her. Hi. Yeah, I promised I'd give you a little head wash. Are you ready? Yeah. Faith Marie Fraser, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here we go. Yeah, you're such a good girl, girl. Let us pray. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the birth of water and of the Spirit, and has given you all your forgiven you all your sins, strengthen us with the grace to live everlasting. Peace be with you. Amen. Receive this light. Live always by the light of Christ. Be ever watchful for the coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him to the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which shall have no end. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Faith Marie Fraser the new birth in holy baptism and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as she has now become your child, that you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to all your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now if I may have her again. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're precious. You're precious. Allow me to introduce to you the newest member of St. Mark's Lutheran Church, Faith Marie Fraser. See, they like you.
Thank you, guys. And we know God is good because Pastor dropped the candle and not the baby. Amen. Please stand. Just as we had with little Faith, let us remember our baptism as Faith just received there in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, preserve us from error and deliver us from temptation. Grant that we may abide in Christ and his word of truth, remaining steadfast and immovable until the end. Help us to remember that our victory has been won through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, that nothing, not even death, can keep us from your grace and mercy. In your name we pray. Amen. And before we confess our sins, I feel the need to point out I'm not Pastor Josh and I'm not Pastor Bob. I'm just filling in as they are on the youth mission trip. I just feel the need to say that. The regular members, you've seen me. I'm an elder here. I just want to point out to guests, my apologies ahead of time. Please visit with us an additional week. Let us now confess our sins on that note. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord who has begun this good work in us bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us now return praise to God our Father.
A place
Our first reading for us today comes from Matthew 13, 44 to 52. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out his storeroom, new treasures, as well as old. Our sermon reading for us today comes from Romans 8, 28 to 39. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of God. Now it's time for a children's message led by Debbie Armbruster.
And I have to say, you are not Pastor Josh or Pastor Bob. However, you are a graduate of our day school. You have continued in your walk, and we could not be prouder to have you as part of our congregation doing things that grown-up people do. Good job. Yeah. Hi. Hello, my friends. We are going to talk about the last thing that Mr. Teuscher just read. It says this: nothing else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So, kind of big words, but I thought we would talk about the word separate. And I brought something with me that I like, and it's kind of important to me. Aww. So this is my balloon. And my balloon is very important to me, and I like it. But there might be some things that could separate me from my balloon. Like maybe if somebody just walked by and took it, then I would be separated from my balloon. I wouldn't have it anymore. Thank you. Or maybe somebody would say something like this.
That isn't a very good balloon.
Oh, Maybe it's not a very good balloon.
No.
Maybe I should, I think I'm not going to keep it anymore. So am I separated from my balloon? Yeah, that could separate me. Or what if something really unexpected came, like a storm with thunder and lightning, and oh my goodness, oh no! Am I separated from my balloon?
You're not getting that back. Anyway.
You're not getting that back. Actually, I know a way to get it back, but I have to do it later. So do you guys know what it means to be separated? But we're not really talking about balloons today in our Bible verse. We are talking about God's love. And God's love isn't really like a balloon. It's more like this. Can you see that? What do I have on my hand? God's love. And if somebody comes and tries to take God's love from me, do I still have it?
No.
So nobody can come take it from me. If somebody says something like this,
if you're really bad, God won't love you.
Oh. Well, I do bad things sometimes. Maybe God won't love me.
He will.
And I get worried. Do I still have God's love? I still do, even when I forget, I have God's love. And I know I have it because God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for me, and I know that. Well, what if something really scary happens? What if I'm in a storm, and there's thunder and lightning, and I'm worried, and I'm scared? Does God's love go away? Guess what? God's love is still there. Now, this is just a marker. Will it go away? It'll eventually go away. Will God's love ever go away?
No.
No, no, no. It will not. And that's the most important thing for us to remember about God's love. No matter what happens, no matter what people say, nothing can separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you that nothing can separate me from your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I wrote a sermon, and it's here, a whole bunch of pages, all typewritten. But you know, as I kept going over the text, I realized God did a much better job than I did. And so, rather than take what I wrote, let's go to what God wrote. And we know that in all things, God works for good to those who love him. Now, you know, usually we hear what God loves us. But here now, he's talking about the people who love him. And I think if I were to ask, who here loves Jesus? Every hand would go up. That's the whole point, isn't it? That's the whole point of being here, because we want to hear from his word what he has done for us. And as we hear what he has done for us, our faith is strengthened. We continue in the word. We continue in our strong faith. And we love him. This is a natural response to what God has done for you and me. But what has he done for us? It says, of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. How many of you received a call? Again, every hand should go up. Every one of us has received a call to faith, to believe in God and to receive his many blessings, especially the blessings of righteousness and forgiveness, and the gift of faith which receives that righteousness and forgiveness so we can go to heaven. Yeah, you know, he saved us from hell. And if you really knew what hell is, we'd be on our knees saying, thank you, God. Thank you for delivering me from such a terrible, terrible eternity. But he saved us. He has provided for us a wonderful eternity with him in glory. And that call according to his purpose, because God loves us. That's his purpose in you, is to save you, and that you can be involved in saving others. For those God foreknew, he also predestined. How could God foreknow who is going to be faithful to him? How can he know these things in the future? Before God created the world, or when he created the world, he also created time. You see, before time, there was nothing but eternity, and God comes from eternity and continues into eternity. In eternity, there is no time. And so, in eternity, God is witnessing all of creation from the beginning to the end, from the day he said, let there be, and there was, until the time when he gathered all the bodies of his saints to heaven. I don't know how he can do all that. The Bible tells us he knows every hair on your head. Now, there's a lot of people here, there's a lot of heads, and that's a lot of hair that God is aware of, each and every one. And so throughout time, from beginning to end, he is aware of every individual. He was aware of every individual before he created the world. He knew you. He called you by name to be his very own child, to be saved, to have the wonderful gift of salvation. That calling was from of old. He knew your name. He knew what you were going to look like. Sometimes I try to imagine what that would be like for God to be aware of all those people for all that time. And I would imagine he has like a zillion computer screens that he can look at every one of them and concentrate on every one of them at the same time. But there is no time. That's eternity. And that's where you and I get to go because of the faith that God has given us. Those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. What's the image of his Son? Who is his Son? Jesus Christ. That's how we know him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world as a human being in order to save human beings. When he was in the world, he was God and human. As God, he is absolutely perfect. He who knew no sin became sin so that he could take your sin and my sin to the cross and pay the penalties we owe. That debt is paid, my friends. That debt is paid. We don't have to worry about that. And he kept the law perfectly in your name, earning for you the righteousness of God so that the promised judgment day comes, are we worried? No. We have nothing to worry about. Young man over here with a blue shirt and a beard is our youngest son. The day after we brought him home from the hospital, I thought I was having a heart attack. The EMTs told me I was having a heart attack. And I thought I was dying. And after God assured me that he was going to take good care of my family, I could relax. Hey, in a few minutes, I'm going to see God. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see my dad again. How much I was looking forward to dying. Do you realize this is one of the wonderful gifts that God has given us Christians? We don't have to be afraid to die. As a matter of fact, we can look forward to it in God's time. When he's ready to take us home, we know that we're going to be there. He is going to take us into glory. The text goes on to say, predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. He's the firstborn because the person who receives the Holy Spirit, the person who receives the faith, the person who is predestined to be God's child, is also going to be God's ambassador to the world. You and me, as we are gifted to be able to share that wonderful good news of Jesus Christ, we were able to save a lot of people. If you see someone drowning in a lake, and you're on the dock and you have a lifesaver in your hand, I don't mean a little piece of candy, would you throw that lifesaver to the person out there who's drowning? Of course we would. We wouldn't even think about it. For we have an inner desire to save people from death. How much more do we want to save people from eternal death? And God gives us the opportunity again and again and again. Had a man approach my wife and I in a grocery store, wanted to thank me for my service. I had on a shirt that said something about a veteran. And so he assumed I was a veteran, which I am. And so we got to talking, and he told me that he went to church and that he went to church regularly. And I said, well, that's wonderful, but tell me, how do you expect to get to heaven? Well, I've been good. I do the best I can. I try to be good to people. And I had to tell him, well, that's not going to do you. You're not going to get into heaven that way. Because you see, what you're doing is you're putting your trust in what you do. You put your trust in an idol. That's what we do. We make ourselves an idol when we start trusting in what we do to get us into heaven. And then I could share with him the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. How Jesus came and took his place to earn righteousness and forgiveness, so that he could go to heaven. That God did the whole thing, even created the gift of faith in his heart, so that he could receive the righteousness and forgiveness. That's a gift God has given us so that we can share it with others. And we are the firstborn of many who are saved. And those he predestined, he also called. And so he predestined us to be saved. Now, a lot of people are very uncomfortable with that because they really don't understand. They see this as God choosing those who are going to be saved. And they assume then the other half of the equation, that he must have chosen those who are not going to be saved. That is not taught in the Bible. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, we read, God wants all men to be saved. This is what God wants. This is the will of God. So why isn't God's will carried out? Why is not everybody saved? Because of stubbornness you remember the guy in the Bible called Pharaoh of Egypt? Did he have reason to believe in God? He saw the miracles that God was working through Moses, and he did not put a trust in that God. He kept his trust in his idols. He was so determined to go his way. And we have so many people today who refuse to believe. Yet you and I still have the obligation to approach them with this wonderful good news. Because we don't know. We don't know who's predestined and who isn't. And so we bring that word of God to everyone that we can, on the chance that they are predestined. And God has chosen you to bring the word of God to him. God has chosen you to bring them that good news, that they may be saved. Those he called, he also justified. So what does that mean? Okay, there's two kinds of justification. Let me get into a little bit of seminary theology here. There's objective justification and subjective justification. Objective justification is from the cross. This is where you and I can announce to the world, to everyone we meet, God died for you. He took away all your sins. You are washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's objectivity. Everyone is included in the sacrifice of Jesus. He sacrificed for everybody. Can anyone say, well, he didn't do it for me? Yeah, they say it, but it ain't true. And no way, no way. God died on the cross for everyone. However, not everyone is saved because they don't receive. Now, I heard the story of a man named George Wilson. George Wilson was arrested and tried and convicted and sentenced to hang for mail theft and murder. But President Jackson, see, this is a few years ago, back when they used to hang people, he pardoned George Wilson. He issued a piece of paper that pardoned the man to set him free. George Wilson, I think, had something wrong with him because he refused the pardon. So what are they going to do? Are they going to hang him or set him free? Well, the case went before the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled that the pardon was just a piece of paper until it is received by the individual. If he doesn't receive it, he doesn't have it. And that's the way it is with the people of this world. Jesus Christ earned a pardon objectively for everyone. But those who don't receive it by faith don't have it. And it seems so simple. It seems so simple to simply receive it. I mean, what are the choices? 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit in hell, where there's no light, total darkness, or the glory of God in Jesus Christ, where he is there blessing us in the mansion that he is going to prepare for us? Which do we choose? Unfortunately, we don't, because we are by nature sinful and against God. By nature, we are God's enemies. And so whatever he wants for us, I don't want that. I don't like that guy. He keeps telling me what to do. But he sends his Holy Spirit into your heart and mind through the Word of God, through baptism, and through the Lord's Supper. And as we receive that wonderful gift of God's Spirit, we are changed. We are born again into a faith that receives the gifts that Jesus lived and died to give us. And so, we are justified. We receive the pardon. Oh, wrong side. Here we go. Okay, those he justified, he also glorified. And this is the part of heaven. He glorified. You know, you and I are able to receive some glory that God shares with us. I believe everyone here has at least, well, more than once, but many times, done something successfully, where you did a job, you're really proud of what you did, and you realize it wasn't me, it was God who was working through me to accomplish this. But your spouse, your children, your neighbors, everyone is telling you and praising you for what you did, the wonderful job you did. And that's God sharing his glory with you. And how wonderful it is to know that God was using you to accomplish something good. But in heaven, it will be so much more profound. It will be in the very presence of God that he shares his glory with you and with me, as he gives us the power to rule over angels. You and I will have that responsibility that we will carry out faithfully in heaven because we have God guiding us, directing us, showing us what to do and giving us the abilities. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? When we know we have God on our side, we don't have to worry. But how can we get God on our side? That is, for us to be on his side. During the Civil War, a pastor was praying that God would be on the side of the North. And Abraham Lincoln said afterwards, "I don't pray that God will be on my side, but rather that I will be on his side." And this is really the truth of the matter. We want to do his will, not ask him to be doing our will. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," but his will isn't being done on earth because of the will of human beings. God gave us the freedom of the will. And in 99.9 times out of 100, your will and my will is opposite of what God's will is, because our will comes from selfishness. Our will comes from pride. Our will comes from a sinful nature. But God's will is coming from love and justice and right. Therefore, we who trust in him will always want his will to be done, because his will comes from what is good. Ours isn't. Ours is selfishness, usually. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would have everlasting life. God so loved the world, and this is the gift that he's giving us. The gift of his love, the gift of his forgiveness, the promise of everlasting life with him in heaven. He's giving us all things. Well, what does he give you today? What is there that happened to you today that you said, "Thank you, God"? These things happen, don't they? We are blessed over and over again, every day. And as we recognize what God is doing for us, putting on the glasses of faith, that we see what's going on through faith, we recognize God working in our lives, blessing us by giving us all things. And we say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for that little baby. Thank you for the faith. Thank you, God, for all of our children. Thank you, God, for all that you give. Thank you, God, for our friends. Thank you, God, for the people here who support us in our faith and encourage us. Thank you, God, who gives us all things. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? The devil will. You know, on the judgment day, the devil, he's the state's attorney, and he's going to say, "Ah, you can't go to heaven because look here, I got a whole list of sins. I got a whole list of things that you did wrong. You don't deserve to go to heaven. But the defense attorney, Jesus Christ, he says, ah, my blood covered those sins. My blood covered those sins. They've been washed away. And then the judge. Now, my friends, this is a rigged court because the judge is Jesus. He's the defense attorney and he's the judge. And he says, innocent. Innocent. Because I died in his place. But the right hand of God, and also is, oh, Jesus is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And so now that everything has been done, he is there in heaven, and he is constantly reminding the Father, my blood has covered these people are forgiven, and they love you, Lord. And we are saved because of Jesus constantly working in our behalf. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Ask Mrs. A. She'll tell you. You know, I don't think I'm going to be able to get that balloon down. I'm going to have to get Andy to, he's taller than I am. Maybe he can get it down. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot that we can't do. We depend on God. We depend on him to do for us. Who shall separate us? Nothing is going to separate us. Shall trouble or hardship? Who here has not experienced trouble or hardship? And who delivered us? It was God. You know, some people want to turn away from God. When grandma died or your mother died, so many people are saying, I don't believe in a God who would take somebody away. I'm not going to believe in a God who would take away from me the person I loved. Well, if he took away your mother who's a Christian, where is she? She's in heaven with God. That's not a curse. That's a blessing, isn't it? And we can rejoice when the loved ones we know who believed in Jesus Christ, when they die, they're in heaven. They've been delivered from this veil of tears to the eternal joy of being with God in heaven. That's where you and I are going. We're confident in that. And confident that everyone that we love who believes in Jesus will also be going to heaven. Trouble or hardship? Persecution? That ain't going to hurt us. That can't hurt us. You know, if they shoot us, I'm going to heaven. That's nothing to be afraid of. That's nothing to worry about. And our responsibilities here on earth, God will take care of that. Trust in him. Trust in him. Will famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Many a soldier goes into combat. And they have chaplains who are teaching them the word of God. So that as the men are going in, facing possible death, are able to do so, knowing that if that happens, they're going to heaven. And you know, you can be a lot more brave when you know death is not a curse, but a blessing. And that's the blessing you and I know of, that we are confident in that. He says we are counted as sheep to be slaughtered by the world, but not by God. God counts us as his sheep that he cares for, that he loves and defends. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love that God has for you. Nothing can separate for you from, nobody can separate you from his glory except you. If we decide we don't need to go to church anymore, if we decide we don't need to hear it because we heard it all already, I mean, everything I've said in today's sermon, I've already said 100 times in sermons. So why keep going to church? Because we need to have those reminders. We need to be reminded of God and His love for you and me. Because as soon as we separate ourselves from the Word of God and the sacraments, we separate ourselves from God's Holy Spirit, we begin to accept the religion of the world. The religion of the world, if I'm good enough, God will love me. My friends, God already loves you. You can't be good enough because we're sinners. Only with the righteousness of God, which Jesus earned, can we be good enough to be with God. You see, God is holy. He cannot abide unholiness. Therefore, you and I need to be perfectly holy. Now, I don't know about you. Well, yes, I do. Yes, I do, because you've got Jesus Christ. You've got His perfect righteousness. You've got His perfect forgiveness. And so, with that, we are holy. God has given us that holy righteousness. Do I understand it? Do I understand how it can work? Only that I need it, and you need it. And so we continue to be in church every week, receiving the Word and receiving the sacraments for the strengthening of that faith, so we don't fall into the trap of thinking, I can be good enough and make myself a god. God truly loves you, and because He loves you, we love Him. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Made me glad.
us now profess our faith that is given us through God our Father, using the explanation of the third articles of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Let us pray. Gracious God, we know that neither life or death can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you for all who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and we ask that you grant us also our inheritance with the saints in light. Holy Lord, grant wisdom and energy to our first responders. Let them serve safely and lovingly as they make sacrifices to serve us. Help us to be grateful for them in thought and prayer. These and whatsoever other things you could have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And together, as you have taught us to pray, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often in remembrance of me."
Just how great my need in his hands.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace with joy. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. And now let us join in the final hymn.
Again, increase in us, we pray.
In us, receive your gift.
Amen. Please be seated briefly for an announcement. I only got one on here, so Miss Lauren, if you're in here, please correct me. But a new four-week adult Bible study will be starting next week. Join us right here in the Worship Center. And I understand we have a video to preview it for you right now. It is titled, Can I Trust the Bible? All right, that should be a great Bible study. Remember, it doesn't stop here in church on Sunday, so be in those Bibles. And any other announcements I'm missing? Going once, twice? Denise, Bible study, what day? Tomorrow night, 7 in the asylum. So another great time to be in the Lord's Word. Anything else, Pastor?
Bible study after service here in the church on Ephesians chapter 5.
Terrific. Thank you, Pastor. That's all we got for you guys, so have a great Sunday.